Okay. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm afraid like I'm scared as a dog, but I've got a new song and I want y'all to sing along, sing along. See, this is the way that we walk on the sun. It's day when it's raining inside and you're
not behind, then you see what you find. I called a sucker dime cause he thought it could rhyme. Now if his mama is a call, the daughter must be a dime. I gotta meet her, don't take no shots, I don't use a H and I don't even play the radio neither. Only if I need to know the spokes or the weather. I'm a cool type of brother, but yep, your head I from the neck. See, ain't nothing changed, hit the stage. Set a date, sucker, in battle we can engage. I'll wife you, marry you, divorce you, throw the Porsche at you. It's what I'm forced to do, with my back against the wall. Cause back, y'all, no, it ain't went nowhere. Like heavy hair with style and gel in it. Throw a curl in it, dread that nappy up, throw a shell in it. Whatever floats your boat, I find your lost remote. And this is for the broken at the airport who got laid off. I take my shades off. If you look straight in my eyes, you still might see your disguise. Because the whole world.
Kinda aches like a draw fresh up off the plate. Wait, back to the enemy of the state is the Republicans or Democratic candidate debate. Now even the black box holds the fate. Clueless like Shay and Scooby before commercial break. Hey, extreme prejudiceness to trench this. If you won't do, you can dub it till you hit list. I know you're going to. We in this replenish your musical wish list. When it comes to this music, we stay relentless, pursuing all that's pursuable. Doing God willing, all things that are doable. The only liable limitation is yourself, Dre. Set it on the right, and I'll set it on the left.
Love it when you sing of you. Rock the world. Love it when you sing of you. Rock the world. Love it when you sing of you. Rock the world.
And good morning, everyone. We see that everyone is here. Good morning to everybody, right? Today's show will please and satisfy, educate, and stimulate, and it will definitely be insightful. And I just want to give you some phrase words. We're going to be talking about the Dirty South and hip-hop, as you heard at the beginning of the show, musically, with the funk music. The second black mayor elect in the city's history, New York City. Expenses, future benefits, resources, estimation of revenue, and, of course, an American actor. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to say that music is like poetry and has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking you, the audience, to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment, where we do more than just an attempt to make waves. We indeed make vibration. So I want to thank everyone who's here, the panelists, the student hosts, and more importantly, you, the audience. Thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, without any more haste, I want to say to you that our student hosts, Walter Pierce and Justin Hill, continue to embark on even more history segments and definitions this week, featuring topics on Chadwick Aaron Bozeman and Mayor-elect Eric Leroy Adams. Our financial literacy information also continues with definitions on the words budget, assets, and liabilities. Musically, they round out their broadcast with the hip-hop duo Outkast for Curtains. Now, comments and questions from our House panelists and elders are going to be coming from Ms. Tanisha Garner, Mr. Shelton Harris, Mr. Tamir Davis, and yours truly, moderator, Mr. Bay. That's Dr. Richard Bombay, PhD of musicology. Now, I've had my fun. Now it's time for me to let the young people run and take this thing over. Okay, we're going to say good morning to Walter starting out. We're going to let Walter start out, but I want to start by saying also, good morning, Justin. Good morning, Walter and Justin. Say good morning. Talk to me.
Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Now, to start off with my first segment of today, I will start off with diamonds and see. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the toils of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, my diamond for this week is on Eric Adams. And Eric Leroy Adams was born in the Brownsville neighborhood of Brooklyn on September 1st, 1960. Following a public school journey capped by his graduation from Bayside High School, Eric went on to earn an Associate's in Arts degree in data processing from the New York College of Technology, a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Criminal Justice from John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and a Master of Public Administration degree from Marist College. Eric paid his way through his collegiate studies through a number of jobs, including work in a mailroom of an accounting firm as a mechanic and as a clerk in the Kings County District Attorney Office. Eric graduated from New York City Police Academy in 1984 as one of the highest-ranked students in his class. After initially serving with the New York City Transit Police Department, he was transferred to the New York City Police Department, NYPD, with the merging of the city's police forces. In 1995, Eric co-founded 100 Black Law Enforcement Who Care, an advocacy group that rose to nationwide prominence, speaking out against police brutality, racial profiling, and department diversity. Eric was elected to the first four terms in the New York State Senate in 2006, and in 2013, he was elected as the first person of color to serve as a borough president. And now he is currently the mayor of New York City. So we see that, you know, Eric Adams has had a very successful run so far. You know, he's graduated from college. He's been a part of New York basically his whole life. He's been in the prosecution office. He's been in the Senate. He's been borough president. So he has the accolades and the things to back up for him being actually the mayor of New York, since he was in New York his entire life. And, you know, really, it doesn't matter what party you support. Just the important thing to see here is that we have somebody who is an African-American in a position that he is in as the mayor of New York, the biggest city in the country. And the important thing to note here is we're making progress to take different positions in, you know, political offices so that we can have a voice in making policies and making change. So this is really the important thing, no matter what party you support. And that concludes my segment on Eric Adams. You are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU, and this is student host Walter Pierce.
And the whips kissing our black skin. Strange fruit hanging, smell the jasmine. Ride the Coltrane, listen to jazz then. Back then, we came with names like James, Fatima, Nina, King, Dreamer, Redeemer of the people. Songs for the Hebrew, original, spiritual content. You can smell it when it's gossip. We keep it moving every day, we the target. The young, gifted, and black on the market. Cause of that, we pay with our lives. Or either catching charges, but yo, the goddess isn't God, dear. Young, gifted, and black. Goddamn Ferguson, goddamn Staten Island, goddamn Baltimore, goddamn America, damn. I tell you who I am, but you don't understand. Cross the waters I swam, son and daughters of the land. Yeah, we the black sheep, but you slaughtering the lamb. You try to silence with the sirens, sounds of violence do nothing but divide us. Evolution of revolution, retribution to do us. The old ways of the U.S., it ain't the new us. Tell them we the stars, they can't shoot us. From prisons to wars, you can no longer recruit us. Salvation is to us even before we change. God knew us.
Okay. Good morning again, everyone. And I want to say good morning to Justin. Justin, take it away for your first segment of Diamond.
Good morning, everybody. So for today, my diamond segment will be on Chad Bozeman. His story is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. Chadwick Boseman was born November 29, 1973, and he died August 28, 2020. He was an American actor and playwright. After studying directing at Howard University, he began working consistently as a writer, director, and actor for the stage, winning a Drama League directing fellowship and acting, and being nominated for a Jeff Award as a playwright for Deep Azure. Transitioning to the screen, he landed his first major role as a series regular on Persons Unknown in 2010, and his breakthrough performance came in 2013 as basketball player Jackie Robinson in the biographical film 42. He continued to portray historical figures, starring as singer James Brown in Dead on Up in 2014, and as lawyer and future Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall and Marshall in 2017. And that concludes my segment on diamonds.
I want to come back to you, and I want you to express what was the thing that inspired you to do Eric Adams this morning. And Justin, I'm going to ask you the same thing about Chadwick Boseman. Walter.
Yeah, what really inspired me to pick Eric Adams was really just seeing this upcoming election and seeing a lot of, you know, there was a lot of change. There was just a lot of press on this election, and you know, really, when you see somebody that, you know, that looks like you in a position of New York mayor, biggest city in the country. And, you know, you just want to learn about him. You want to understand more about him because I didn't know who he was before he was mayor. So me looking him up and doing research, it was just very eye-opening and interesting for me to pick him for this upcoming segment.
Okay, that sounds good. Hey, Justin, good morning again, my brother. Why did you choose Chadwick Boseman as your featured diamond segment for this morning?
Well, I chose Chadwick Boseman because at first I thought he was just an actor, but then I looked into him and I saw that he was an actor, a writer too, and he's a great actor too.
Okay. Well, most great actors and speakers are also good writers because they both go hand in hand, right? But without any further ado, I'd like to bring in our first panelist, Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, you know, I've heard a statement once before that we've passed the point where, you know, being the first black or the second black in an elected office really doesn't matter if you're not going to cut the mustard. You know, do what needs to be done for the community and the constituents in the town. Talk to me about that particular phrase that I'm sharing with the audience here.
Yeah, because it really came the same way with Barack Obama. There was a lot of anticipation, oh, we got a black president, oh, things are going to be better in certain positions. But if you're not in a position to change whatever's going on, because the president doesn't change any laws, and the same way with the mayor. The mayor signs into different edicts and stuff around the city, but it's the city council that actually does all the pushing when it comes time to get something done. And, you know, and I think that's more of us having an understanding of how politics really works. And when it comes to that, a lot of people in our community are still kind of new to this. And that's why sometimes the expectations don't really reach the reality of what we're really trying to do.
Okay. I'll take that. I'm going to move right along and say good morning. Tanisha, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Now, Tanisha, how are you this morning? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I have a different question for you, right? You know, we've seen different politicians come into office, and as a people, we have, you know, come a long way. But for a long time, you know, we were held back from being able to participate in the electoral process because of segregation and just outright prejudice and racism, right? The poll taxes, all of that. And today, while we're able to get out and participate and vote, right, so many black people, African Americans, still do not participate. Now, this is a real, you know, question here. Why do you think black people just don't participate in the electoral process? Have we lost confidence?
It's half and half. People still vote because the largest population that vote is the elderly. So that's a misnomer. And I guess when it comes to the young people, they see I wish I could say what I want to say. what's another way I could say it? At the end of the day, it's like the laws that they pass, like especially when it came to like gerrymandering or like the new policies that they passed in, is not really for us. And especially, I guess, like the most recent thing when it comes to us having our reparations, and we still haven't received our reparations, but you want to give reparations to immigrants that hasn't been here that long. So that's also a conflict. So I guess with the younger generation, they see that the laws that they have passed or the policies that they are passing are not geared for us. And sometimes they don't know how to fight. They don't know how to, stick together versus in the 60s, when the community came together and they fought together and they helped change policies. But right now, I guess the younger generation is blinded by, what the world's view of, being only about self and not realizing it's a collective as being within unity. And that's the only way, we could change things and really put pressures in all government, whether it be local, federal, state, and also us as a people coming together and not, allowing them to make so many changes in our lives and we take back our power. And by us taking back our power is by educating each other financially, spiritually, physically, and then we can move forward, to a better state of mind.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, how's that for a response? That was good. Thank you very much for your input. And now I'm going to come to Mr. Tamir Davis, the Black Librarian, and I'm going to hand you both questions. The significance of being, and let me not mention David Dinkins being the first black mayor of New York City, but having a second chance at another black representative representing the city of New York, and its importance and what he's able to do or not do. And then is there apathy in the black community towards the electoral process or just miseducation? I know it's an unfair question, but like I told Justin yesterday, life is not fair. Good morning, Mr. Davis.
Good morning. I'm going to start with the second question. The question is whether or not there's apathy as it relates to African Americans in this country and the voting process. Now let's circle back and let's look at the historical reality of the electoral process. Let's look at the historical reality of the fact that in the United States Constitution, we were considered 3/5 of a human being. Now we can argue during the Reconstruction period in the United States of America, we did see like Blanche Bruce, a lot of black Republican elected officials in this country. And it did create some type of progress in this country during the electoral process. But whether or not we had full-blown power as an elected official, whether or not we was an effect, a change from a very national level, I don't think so. At one point, African Americans supported the Republican Party because of Lincoln and the promise of the Emancipation Proclamation, Frederick Douglass, on and on and on and on, dealing with that historical reality. Fast forward to today. Are we a part of the electoral process? Are we considered? I mean, two of the great examples of African-American mayors in this country, I would say, one is Mayor Jackson out of Atlanta. Did a lot of great things, created the airport, a lot of progressive movements, a lot of black contractors were able to become a part of the process of being considered, dealing with contracting and so on and so forth, stuff like that. But there's still a problem ingrained in the United States of America whereby blacks are not included in terms of the whole electoral process. Does racism still exist? Does discrimination still exist? Despite discrimination, does that mean that the jails are going to be still packed with African Americans more so than any other ethnic group in the country? Despite it being 2 million people, we are the most highly populated in terms of prisons throughout the whole entire planet. And majority of the prisons, I would say 65 to 80% of the prisoners are African Americans or Latin Americans. So if the electoral process is working, how come the reentry program and things are not working properly? How come we're still not being able to be hired on the same level? Why? You know, so I don't think that, I think that it still needs a lot of work in terms of being included in the whole process. And then many reasons why we're not included in the process, because the funding for public schools and what have you are not the same type of funding that's received in other different affluent areas. So when we get to school, we don't have lunch, or we don't have books, or we don't have this, we don't have that. So we're at a disadvantage before we even begin to start considering the electoral process. Financially,
okay, well,
another one.
Okay, but what about
now,
the other part?
The other part
question.
Is that the other part of your question is that I'm reading here in 1990s, Adams began to develop a interest in a political career. One of the first things that he did was he spoke to William Lynch Jr., who was an advisor to Mayor David Dinkins about a political career and a political process. So that's very, very important. One of the things that we need to have as a collective of people, and most ethnic groups have this, is elders and advisors to actually steer our careers and steer our interests. So to have a such advisor on his team and showing them how to go up to the ranks and showing them about the political process shows how sagacious he was in his pursuit of becoming an elected mayor in the state of New York.
Okay.
For New York City. Thank you.
Okay. I'm gonna let that be a wrap. You threw a lot on the table out there, right? But we're going to go on a softer note right now, because you opened up the door for other questions that really do need to be talked about, discussed, and explained. But we're going to continue on, right, on a softer note. Chadwick Boseman, Mr. Harris, is he your favorite actor? Did he rank for you in your top 10 male black actors in America?
Top 10? Yes. And, you know, and what really pushed me towards him was the fact that he was struggling physically during the whole time he was making all of these his last, like, four or five movies. He was literally dying. And to be able to still bring that energy and stuff to what he was doing, possibly thinking ahead for his legacy, and also showing that regardless of your conditions, don't give up. There's always something positive you could do. So for that, among if nothing else, he's one of my favorite actors.
Okay. All right. Now, Tanisha, same question. Is Chadwick Boseman in your top 10 of African American black actors in America?
Yeah. I guess you told me. I didn't see the other movies he played in, but I definitely seen Black Panther. So that's how I got introduced to him. So by him playing that role, yes, it was definitely powerful.
Okay. And those are your last words on Chadwick Boseman? Okay. We'll accept that. We're going to come back to the Black Librarian. And Tamir Davis, you know, this is a lighter note, man. Chadwick Boseman, your top 10. Yes, no, talk to me.
Yes. Yes, he was. He was one of the top 10. I've seen him in many of his different movies, and I've seen him take on different type of challenges as an actor. He was able to immerse himself with the Jackie Robinson movie, for example, with the what's the other movie he did? 21 Blocks. All of his movies were quite interesting. And reading briefly about him, the way in which he honed his craft at Howard University, things he has done, his accolades, and I just was very enamored with him as an actor. He played a South African police officer that was advocating for assistance in one film. So I've seen him in different roles and take on different challenges. And I really appreciate having the opportunity to view his films. I think that his poise, his demeanor was such for myself and others, was such and that it kind of influenced me to even push even harder and strong and stuff like that.
Okay. All right, everyone. We're going to take a music break and come back, right? And when we return, I want to talk about mental illness. I'm going to also share another Aesop fable, right? And we're going to continue on with our other segment presented by Justin Hill and Walter Pruitt.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and if I know for sure.
Suspicion that you're definitely involved too. I want to come right back and say good morning to Walter Pierce. And Walter Pierce, Walter, man, on a scale of 1 to 10, Chadwick Boseman, where does he land on your scale?
Definitely up there. It was definitely a 10 because a lot of my favorite movies he was in, including Black Panther and 42, which I watched a good amount of times. So, you know, he's up there like everybody else said, basically. He was just somebody who was always a hard worker, even when he was going through, you know, his disease he was going through, he was still making movies. So it just shows the really dedication he had to his legacy, and hopefully rest in peace.
Okay. Walter, I'd like to throw it back to you once again for your definition segment. Take it away, please.
This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have a defined form. And my definition for this week is on budget. And see, budget is an estimation of revenue and expenses over a specified future period of time, and it's usually compiled and reevaluated on a periodic basis. Budgets can be made for a person, a group of people, a business, a government, or just about anything else that makes or spends money. To manage your monthly expenses, prepare for life's unpredictable events, and be able to afford big-ticket items without going into debt, budgeting is important. Keeping track of how much you earn and spend doesn't have to be drudgery. Doesn't require for you to be good at math, and doesn't mean for you to buy, it doesn't mean you can't buy things that you want. It just means that you have to know where your money goes, and you have to have greater control over your finances. And, yeah, really, so a budget is really just used for everybody. Everybody who has money, whether it's a business, whether it's a child, it's an adult, anything, the important thing to have when you have money is a budget. And you're probably thinking, you know, what is the most important things to include on your budget? And the first things you should be putting down in your budget is your needs. So for people that might be bills, that could be clothes, food, anything like that that's a necessity for you to live should be first included on your budget. And then that's how you work around the things that you probably want to get, that you're probably saving up to eventually receive. You know, once you get all your needs out the way, you probably want to save, let's say, probably $25 here. And you put $25 a week into your savings, and eventually you'll be able to buy the thing that you want eventually. So really probably there's different ways you could create a budget. There's online templates, or you could just simply write it down for anything and create your budget like that. So, really, that's all I have for this segment on budget. It's really kind of self-explanatory. But the thing I want to expand on is I want to ask everybody out there, you know, what's your method of doing a budget? How do you go about, you know, settling the things that you need and the wants and, you know, making it all work?
Okay. Thank you very much. But before we bring in our panelists, and I'd like for them to try to take a note and remember that question that Walter just asked, I'm going to have to bring in Justin because, you know, make it make sense, I'm saying to myself in my head. And when I'm talking about budget, oh, man, I'm saying to myself, well, assets and liability, if I understand that, maybe I can understand the budget. I want to hand it over to Justin for his definition. And, yeah, I gave you a lot to handle for your definitions, two words. But Justin, good morning again. Take it away for your definition.
Good morning, everybody. So for today, my definition segment will be on assets and liability. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis, say we care and believe ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Asset and liability is the practice of managing financial risk that arise due to mismatches between the assets and liabilities as part of an investment strategy and financial accounting. Asset and liability management sits between risk management and strategic planning. It is focused on a long-term perspective rather than mitigating immediate risk, and is a process of maximizing assets to meet complex liabilities that may increase profitability. ALM includes the allocation and management of assets, equity, interest rate, and credit risk management including risk overlays and the calibration of company-wide tools within these risk frameworks for optimization and management in the local regulatory and capital environment. Often, an ALM approach passively matches assets against liabilities and leaves surplus to be actively managed. And that concludes my segment on assets and liabilities.
Okay. Justin, I'm going to say, first of all, great job. And that being said, I want you to understand that there are a lot of adults who don't understand assets and liabilities, all right? Because in the black community, I have seen people, let's just go straight, cut to the chase, right? I got my stimmy, baby, and yeah, I bought myself a new car. It's an asset, right? And that being said, I'm going to go straight to Mr. Harris. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah, well, everything that's given to you is not necessarily for you, you know, and these, you know, well, first thing, let me say that that was a good segment by Justin, because I kind of learned a lot of stuff about assets and liabilities, and it really breaks down to what you have and what you think you have. That's the difference between an asset and a liability. You know, a liability could be something that you think you have, but it doesn't really gain anything for you in the long run. And an asset is something that's tangible, that you can use toward building something larger. You know, but Justin, he really broke it down kind of clearly. And there's really not much more I can say on top of what he already said. But
okay,
that was a good
man.
Job.
All right. Okay. But here we go. You know, I saw those new Jordans, and it's not in my budget, man, but I'm going to use my check this week, and I'm going to get them Jordans. So talk to me about budget real quick.
Yeah, when it comes down to budget, you know, a lot of times we want things, but then when it comes down to actually being able to have those things, we have to be able to separate, we have to be able to separate those two things between our wants and what our needs are. You need to live. You don't need those Jordans. You need to have electricity so you pay your public service bills. You need to have somewhere to stay so you pay your mortgage or your rent, however, whichever level you want. You know, needs are necessary. Wants are secondary. And we have to start to look at things that way.
I'm going to cut you off right there, and I'm going to come to the Black Librarian. The Black Librarian, Tamir Davis, you know, those Jordans, man, and my budget, and I don't care about my rent. I'm going to just be late for my rent, and I'm going to get them Jordans, right? So I'm trying to make it make sense. But does it make any sense with a budget?
Well, the thing about budget, and again, I agree, Justin did a great job, really, really great. I applaud him. Very confident, very clear, very concise. I see him doing great things in the future. To answer your question, one of the things that we always talk about, and we always get converse about entrepreneurship, right? And one of the things in entrepreneurship, when you're trying to build a business structure, you have to take risk. You have to take risks. Sometimes what you go for may not come to full fruition. I mean, for example, Thomas Edison, when he invested, although we know he got the filaments to actually light the light bulb from Louis Latimer, but when he went through all of the trials and tribulations, he eventually got it 10,000 times. So I agree that you have to be responsible and cognizant of taking care of your immediate needs in terms of if you have rent, if you are on public assistance, if you will. You want to make sure you pay that $100 a month if you're getting $500 a month towards your monthly stipend, you know. But there's people that we had read about and that we know about that was on public assistance at one point, but he or she, the individuals, did not allow that to stop them. I was on public assistance. I took risks in terms of business. Sometimes I would go down and spend $100 on a couple of art paper and inks and pens with hopes of saying, well, I'm going to draw this picture for this particular individual. In many instances, it worked out. I take risks. So part of business is about taking risks. But how do you manage your risk? How do you learn from your risk? Because one of the things that we want to do is this world is changing so much so that people are leaving their jobs and developing their own businesses, or becoming consultants, so on and so forth. So that's your own business structure. You have to properly manage your money. But at the same time, in terms of building the business structure, there are risks. There are risks. Do you take care of your immediate needs in terms of your home, your household, and all that? That's a given. You're supposed to do that. But you can't expect to engage in entrepreneurship and not take on risk. You have to. Now, if you're looking to start a business structure and you have $100,000 or $50,000 part of a savings or annuity that your mother had gave you, do you take that and buy a nice brand-new car? Or do you take a larger portion, put it to the side, and buy a car that you can afford, a used car, a pre-owned car, and take the risk and see how your investments will work? So that means that you need to have a concrete proposal.
Okay,
so it's always risk and management in terms of business.
All right. So I'm not going to buy that pair of Jordans.
No, it depends. I can't give you an absolute. It depends. It depends on the situation.
Oh, okay. So
it depends.
Hold on, because I
may
have to
borrow
cut you off, right?
No, I may borrow the Jordans. I may borrow the Jordans if I have to sit down in a meeting with Jay-Z if I'm working on an album that he likes, because I have to come in and present myself a certain way.
Okay, I totally get that. And if you're using those Jordans as a bargaining chip or a way to increase your income, because you can buy a pair of Jordans for one price if you know what you're doing and sell them for another price and definitely, you know, gain something from that. I'm coming back to Tanisha, but wait a minute, right? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, right? Specifically, you adults out there, this is for you, because I want to remind every adult in the audience that you're never too old to learn. And this particular Aesop fable is titled The Ant and the Grasshopper. And the moral of this particular story is it's best to prepare for the days of necessity, okay, which I think goes along with the today's program. It seems that in the field on one summer's day, a grasshopper was hopping about, chirping and singing, its heart to his heart content, you know, just chilling out, man. And the ant passed by, bearing along with the great toil an ear of corn, and he was taken to his nest. Why not come and chat with me, said the grasshopper, instead of toiling and moiling, you know, and all that work, man. And the ant says, I'm helping to lay up food and water for the winter, the ant said. And I recommend you do the same thing. Why bother about winter, said the grasshopper. We got plenty of food at the present moment. But the ant went on its way and continued its toil. And when the winter came, the grasshopper had no food and found itself dying of hunger. While it saw the ants distributing everyday corn and grain from the stores that it had collected in the summer. And then the grasshopper knew it's best to prepare for the days of necessity, right? And so I think, you know, that pretty much answers that. But with 3 minutes left, I want to turn it back over to Walter, and it's time for Chains of Events. But before I do, I just want to say, I want to ask everybody, have you seen any forms or shapes of mental illness and mental awareness of mental illness in your travels,
right?
And if you have anybody out there, there's a 1-800-662-4357. 1-800-662-4357. Walter, please, for curtains, take it away.
Yeah, and my current segment for this week is Outkast. And, you know, the members of Outkast is Big Boi and Andre 3000. And see, what they've done is they've created a foundation that focuses on youth development, on the arts, and creating social conscious youth. And the mission of it is to nurture the intellect of youth by providing them with culturally diverse experiences in the field of humanities, which will expand their leadership abilities to create social conscious individuals. And, you know, we shout out Outkast for that, because what their mission is really just to inform the youth, which is very important for our generation, to keep us informed so we could continue to pass information on to the next generation so we could continue to be greater. Thank you.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one drip, drip, drop, there goes an orgasm. Now you out the side of your face, we tapping right into your memory bank. Sank. So click at the ticket, let's see your seatbelt fastened. Trunk rattling, like 2 minutes in the back seat wrestling. Speaker box vibrate the tag, make it sound like aluminum cans in a bag. But I know y'all wanted that 808, can you feel that?
Okay, Justin, do you accept the challenge? How did you think? What did you think about today's show, Justin? Justin.
Okay.
Calvin, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir. Good morning.
Oh, what did you think about today's show? Good morning.
Good morning. Great show, guys. You're starting a little earlier. That's good. And so it's, you know, but it's a great show and great commentary.
Okay,
thank you. Got to have that input. We're going to go straight to the Black Librarian quickly, because we're definitely running out of time. Tamir, what you think about today's show?
Great show. My therapy. Thanks.
You got it, right? Mr. Harris, what did you think about today's show?
Hey, I loved it as always. We need to keep this up.
Okay, we will. When the music does that, everybody, that means that's our cue to get out of here. Right. Tanisha, what did you think about today's show?
It was a great show, a lot of great information.
Okay. Thank you very much. Walter, take us away. And Justin, I was trying to get your final comments, but Walter, close us out.
Thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the best.
Everybody, the best
radio.
Youth radio.
Radio.
Radio.